Hi, I'm Tiffany the Last, and I'm on the telephone with Heidi of Urban Sisterhood. Hi, Heidi.
Hi.
How you doing in Indiana?
I'm doing fine. It's kind of cold, but it's sunny and pretty today, so we
Great.
can live with the cold.
Yeah. Your group's mission is to cultivate community and promote sustainable living in Evansville, Indiana, through education, organic gardening, recycling, and environmental awareness. Such what great things that we all need to learn more about. Can you tell us how you personally got started in this group?
Well, a girl that was working, I own a coffee house, a local coffee house here in Evansville, and one of the girls that was working with me at the time, we had talked about how urban gardens were really the key to educating young children in the inner city, because we had talked about how they don't eat right, and the diabetes has just gone sky high in the United States. It just keeps growing by leaps and bounds because children are living in food deserts where there's really no stores that have fresh fruit and vegetables available. So we decided that the best thing to do would be to start a small garden inside the urban setting of our downtown area, which is not that far away from here. It's probably 5 blocks away from the coffee house. So we just found someone that had an empty lot and said, "Hey, can we use this lot?" And they said, "Sure." And that's how the whole thing got started. It started with three of us and it's grown to over 50 members and hundreds of volunteers from the city.
How large is Evansville?
You know what? Population-wise, I couldn't really tell you, but I'd say it's a little bit, it's probably about half the size of Indianapolis, which, you know, I don't really know what their population is. I don't know population. It's a pretty big city, though. I mean, it's not a small town.
And do you have a lot of children coming to your garden and help?
We don't have a lot of children working with us at the time, but this is only our second year, and we have quite a few organizations that want to get their children involved. The Boys and Girls Club had talked about getting involved this spring, and we do have one of the high schools here in Evansville that has already helped to, they have their own little garden. They were like our little brothers and sisters for the Urban Sisterhood that had their own little garden within our garden, and that was really kind of neat. And then we have a grade school in the inner city that wants to get involved and start their own gardens on their property, which we are willing and able to help them do. Because we just feel like it's really important for children to know. I mean, most children don't know what vegetables. I know that sounds crazy, but most people that live in the inner city will go and shop at a gas station or a convenience store, and they end up eating hot dogs and bologna and white bread, and they just really never get any good, nutritious, fresh vegetables or food.
There are a lot of terms related to sustainable agriculture, and I wanted to ask you to explain some to the listeners and to me. You hear the term slow food movement. Can you, and I know your group is involved in that. Can you explain that to the listeners?
The slow food movement was started by Carlo Petrini in Italy, and what that basically entails is that we have gotten away from growing our own food and eating fresh food. Instead, you know, as opposed to fixing your own meal, you know, people go to McDonald's or to another fast food place, and or they'll run to the grocery and they'll get a TV dinner or whatnot. And the slow food movement consists of people getting back to the basics, fixing your own food, growing your own food, tasting the food, enjoying the food, you know, taking the time to sit down and chew your food with your family and with your community, getting together with people. Food brings people together. You know, if even if you go out and eat in a restaurant, you know, you're still sitting with people and communing with people. But when you have a place where people are growing their own food and they're sharing it with the community and they can sit down and, you know, just sit down and eat a tomato that came from a fresh garden that you can just pick it. That's what we're talking about when we go back to the basics. If you remember when you were small, or a lot of the listeners were small, their grandfather, grandmother, or even their parents we all had gardens in our lives when we were children. Most of us did. Children nowadays, they don't even know what a garden is, and it's so sad. Even in an urban setting, you know, people have lawns instead of growing things that they could use. I mean, what does your lawn give you? What does your grass gives you? A pain in the butt, actually. You have to go out and mow it.
And fertilize
it. So you can utilize. Yeah. So, I mean, the slow food movement is just getting back to the basics, getting back to what our food is supposed to be, which is nutritious. We are not supposed to be, you know, we're not supposed to be running out to a fast food restaurant to eat. It's really bad for you to eat it at all, but the slow food movement just teaches all of us to get back to our food, you know, to get in touch with our food.
So if you were wanted to start practicing slow food and be part of that, but you didn't have a garden, how could you seek out slow food?
Well, the first thing you could do is, if you have the internet, it'd probably be best to look up the slow food movement. And if you don't have a garden and you wanted to start out having a garden, you can grow things in a 5-gallon bucket or a container. You can get in touch with people around you. CSAs are a very good source to finding slow food, and those are communities, agriculture farms that are you get a plot of land, and you basically pay for that plot of land, and then you get vegetables every week delivered to your house in a box, fresh vegetables, and they're usually grown organically. So you can get in touch with slow food in a lot of different ways. You can get involved in co-ops. You can get involved in the CSAs. You can start your own small herb garden or vegetable garden at your house, even if you don't have any land. And you have a southern window or a sunny window, you can grow small little things that, you know, can help out. But, you know, just remembering that cooking and preparing your own food, that is part of the slow food movement. You know, trying to get away from going out and eating fast food all the time, or going out and eating all the time, period. You know, that's a better way to get in touch with your food. Start preparing your own food.
So just going to the market and buying food instead of going out, that's, you're doing it right there.
Exactly.
I read a couple other terms. I'm not really, just for the record, I'm not the gardener in the family. It's my husband, but I do enjoy watching it. And I like being in a group of gardening. We're starting a garden at my daughter's school, and going there and working with a big group. It was real. I like that. But some terms that you mentioned on your MySpace page, what is high tunnel gardening?
High tunnel gardening is a recent... what's the word? I'm really tired today, so my words aren't coming out exactly. Though it's not a recent discovery, it's just a recent method of gardening. It's kind of like a greenhouse. However, it's not as big as a greenhouse. It's more like a tunnel that you would walk into that is covered with plastic and made with PVC pipe that's grounded on one side, grounded on the other side, and then you have your doors and ventilation on each side. So, and you have clear plastic over it. If you look it up on the internet, you can usually find the directions on how to build one for about $300.
Wow.
With PVC pipe. And what it is that it extends your growing season. Like here, I hate to use the word global warming because there's so much conflict about that, but so many people are starting to realize that as warm as the trends have been going, as far as every year it gets warmer, if you want to extend your growing season, you could build a high tunnel and you could actually have vegetables almost all the way into January and February, because it's very easy to do, and there are ways to warm it with plastic jugs and recycled containers. And you can grow tomatoes or whatever, lettuce, green, spinach. So you can do this for under $300, and I mean, you know, that's what we plan on doing when we extend our season this year, is using a high tunnel.
And about how much land do you need for something like that?
Actually, we're just going to use an empty lot where a house used to be standing, and what we would like to do is utilize some more empty lots this year, and we are also using lasagna gardening, which is kind of layering leaves and newspaper. We use soy-based newspaper, but you layer them, and you can look that up also, and there's also a book out there that talks about lasagna gardening, but you layer your leaves and your newspaper, you get it all wet, and you let it sit for 6 weeks over underneath some black plastic. You just kind of cover it with black plastic and bricks, and it just kind of stores all the nutrients. Everything breaks down, and then, voila, you have this beautiful, dark earth to plant your stuff in. It's so much easier than plowing up the ground, and sometimes the crabgrass gets in the way, and for that, you can use corn gluten to kill all the crabgrass, and that's something that you can put all over your yard to kill the crabgrass, and that makes it a lot easier for you to start a garden.
Yeah, that's great. And what is permaculture concept?
There's a lot of different aspects to permaculture. Permaculture is basically utilizing different ways of recycling, and like gray water and green housing, and those are all so many terms that would, if we went into them, they're just so, there's so much more to explain when you get into that, but permaculture is basically green housing, green living, you know, utilizing rainwater, it would be very lengthy to go into that, but
yeah.
I mean, I realize that but we are depleting all our resources when it comes to our natural resources like oil and gas. I mean, we need to reuse. I mean, you can get a holding tank and collect rainwater and use gray water in your home to flush your toilet, and that's part of permaculture. That's part of it, but there's just so much to permaculture. Permaculture can be, you know, like I said, greenhousing, you know, all kinds of stuff, gardening in your yard, doing away with your lawn and planting, you know, things that you can sustain yourself on. It's just a whole movement, and that can be looked up on the internet as well.
Great. I'll have to check that out. How long have you been gardening for?
Well, actually, I've been gardening pretty much all my life. My grandmother was from Eastern Kentucky, and she had a garden that was on a slope in the holler where we grew up. My aunts and uncles, they all had gardens in their yards. And then my first husband, who was never home, I kind of got bored because I was just sitting around all the time. So I just started my own garden. And, you know, ever since then, I've just been like, oh, my God, I love having a garden. It's so relaxing. People think it takes a lot of work, but to be quite honest with you, it really does not take a lot of your time. Weeding is probably the thing you'll do the most, and it's so zen to weed. I know that sounds really crazy, but once you get started weeding, you just kind of sit there and you're thinking about so many things, and it's just so nice to sit outside, even when it's hot, and just sit there and pull weeds out of the ground and get close to the earth, and you know, it's just nice. It's nice and relaxing. And your hard work goes into plowing up the ground and making sure everything's ready and then keeping an eye on your seedlings as they're coming out. And that's the real hard part. Weeding is really not that hard.
Just time-consuming.
Yeah, very time-consuming. But, you know, we have time for television, which, you know, I don't. But, I mean, a lot of people have time for television. So if they have time for television, surely they can turn off the boob tube and go outside and weed.
Yeah.
It's going to feed you, you know, as opposed to the television, which won't feed you.
Yeah. You also have a musician that's been part of your group. Can you tell me about Denise Dill?
Denise came to us fairly close to the middle of when we got started, but Denise was just, she put so much into it and so much love, and we recently, she left for a short time. She's in Maine right now, and she is working at a garden as a, if I'm not mistaken, she's directing a CSA, and she is just a wonderful person, and she has done so much for the organization, and we love her so much and miss her so much, but we know she'll be back with us, and, you know, we're kind of hoping to see her this summer. hoping that maybe on Earth Day we could get her to play at our festival. So we just miss her because she's just, I don't know, for the short time that she was with us, she just committed herself completely.
I really like her and Nick's song, Solar Hands, that you guys have on your Urban Sisterhood MySpace page.
While you're harvesting your garden, hope that comforts you through summer. It's too nice outside to waste it in bed. But I planted some oregano and chickweed that I've sewn into a patchwork quilt for you when it gets cold. Cause I'm letting go. Come on, summer, take us back to the lake where we began. Back to her garden.
Oh, now it just goes so well with our mission. And the crazy thing about that is she did not write that song for the Urban Sisterhood. That was something that Denise had done all on her own, and it just kind of fell right into our mission statement and everything that was going on with our whole MySpace thing. And I said, wow, you know, this has got to be on here. And Denise is such a big part of us, even though she's not here. She is our Urban Sisterhood, part of our Urban Sisterhood family. And you know, I just miss her so much. I can't wait to see her again. But, and we do, I mean, I know we're called the Urban Sisterhood, but we totally accept men and we love our brothers that help us and overlook the name. And, you know, they know that we don't mean anything sexist by that. We're just sisters that started the Urban Sisterhood. And basically it was just, we decided that it would be kind of a cute name and we kept it, and everyone has embraced it, and you know, that's kind of why we keep it that way. But we do accept men, so I don't want anybody to feel deterred by our name.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that. You've mentioned CSA a couple times. Can you just tell us what that is?
It's Community Sustainable Agriculture. The community basically pays a fee for a space at the CSA, and there's someone that is hired to work in. I'm sure they have volunteers as well. I'm not real clear on the details. All I know is when you join a CSA, you have a certain amount that is allotted to your family, and they pick the vegetables and put them in a box and deliver them to you, or you pick them up once a week.
Okay.
So what it does is it just makes fresh organic vegetables available to those that don't have a space for a garden. And I think that's a good thing, because a lot of people don't have a space, or they don't know how to do it, but they still want, or they don't have time to do it, and they still want to take advantage of some good vegetables. And, you know, I encourage people to find the CSA close to you, because sometimes there's a long waiting list, and, you know, like, I've been trying to get on our CSA waiting list for 2 years, and it's just, you know, it's like, well, you know, I'm just going to do my Urban Sisterhood thing, because there's so many people that were already on that list. It's just unreal how many people want to eat good food, which is a good thing. This movement is moving quite quickly and expanding quite quickly, and people are starting to realize that we've got to get back to the garden. Like the song says, you've got to get back to the garden.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and hopefully inspiring people and to get out in their garden, and the reasons why we should, and take the time to get back to that.
Well, Tiffany, thank you so much for including the Urban Sisterhood in our radio program. We're honored to be a part of that, and what the movement that you're also working on. So thank you so much.
Would you mind giving an R for Pirate Pods?
Let's support each other in this movement, in this revolution, this silent revolution that we can all be a part of. Instead of ranting and raving, let's listen to Pirate Pods, let's get involved in gardening, let's do some things to change the world.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tiffany.